How are you? Welcome to this week's Mentor Moment. Each week, I bring us a brand new mentor, 10 minutes of our most impactful episodes to set you up for the week ahead. Today, my guest is my good friend and former professional golfer, Jeff Hopkins. He's now the founder and CEO of New Dimensions Active. This week is all about grit. How do you find it? How do you use it? And how do you deal with setbacks? This is pro sports turned pro business. Here's my chat with Jeff. Going green, becoming more sustainable, it's everywhere, right? Everyone wants to be greener and do their bit to help. But sometimes, for your business, there are more important things to do. It's hard to find the time. Well, take it out of your hands because it's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. They have the time and the experts to sort it for you. And the best bit is, it'll help your business, save you time, money, and energy. Perfect, right? The Green for Business audit will assess your business and tell you where you can make changes. And the new energy efficiency grant will help you pay for those changes. And your local enterprise office will sort the whole process for you. Go to www.allinadayswork.ie/green, fill out the form that takes less than 2 minutes, and your local enterprise office will take it from there. Going green? It's all in a day's work for your local enterprise office. Many of you listening to the pod are business owners and savvy investors, but have you been introduced to peer-to-peer lending? Peer-to-peer lending is the practice of lending money directly to other individuals or businesses without the need for a traditional intermediary like a bank. Property Bridges offers you the opportunity to lend directly to experienced home builders across Ireland through their innovative online investment platform. Investors earn returns of up to 9% per annum, and your money is fully secured against property. To learn more, visit propertybridges.com. Property Bridges is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a game changer for your business, Azure Communications. When it comes to print and marketing solutions, these folks, led by CEO Jenny Johnston, are the real deal. Whether you need an eye-catching brochure, sleek business cards, or a full-blown digital campaign, Azure Communications has you covered. They're not just about high-quality prints or digital campaigns, they're also about delivering great results. And here's the best part. Just for listeners of The Entrepreneur Experiment, you can get 20% off your first order. Just give them a call or go online and use the code VOX20. With personalized service and fast turnaround times, Azure Communications will help you make the impact your business deserves. Trust me, when it comes to making your brand stand out, Azure Communications is the provider of choice. Check them out at azurecom.ie. Use code VOX20 and elevate your marketing game today.
True. Schoolboy, I played on Robbie Brady, Jeff Hendricks, famous St. Kevin's team. We were four-time All-Ireland champions, and we were a phenomenal young team. I think nine of our starting 11 for St. Kevin's started for Ireland. So
what?
We had a very strong team, yeah. So we got trials everywhere. I was away with Liverpool, West Brom, Blackburn. We got to experience that whole lifestyle of being over in the UK playing football.
What was that like as a young lad? Because it's a dream, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit surreal. I think Blackburn, West Brom, those kind of clubs, they're very academy based. So you're in the academies, and you're kind of, there's hundreds of kids coming through, and everybody's fighting for their place. Liverpool was a little bit more of an experience. We got brought out. We trained with the team. We got brought out of pictures of Gerrard, Risa, Crouch, all this. It was a real experience. So for me, coming from a family of United fans.
I was going to say, hold on, you're not a Liverpool fan, are you?
No.
This will be the shortest pod ever.
No. Coming from a family of United fans, but it was an opportunity you couldn't turn down.
Of course, right?
So that was a bit surreal now. The other ones was kind of, I've come through the development systems. I've been on the Irish team. I've played in massive tournaments. So it's kind of the same when you go over to the academies.
Right, okay.
But when you get pulled into that, something so prestigious, like we are on, I've got to get this right now, is it Millfield or something like that is their training grounds now. It's probably real kind of spit in the face to Liverpool fans but they all stand on their wheelie bins and they look over the wall.
Oh, Melwood.
Melwood, that's it.
Yes.
Sorry. They all stand on their wheelie bins, look over the walls. You got all these heads popping over, watching
wild.
Train, being on the pitch and stuff. So that was a bit mad, all right.
Was that the dream, to be a pro footballer?
It was, yeah, absolutely. Well, look, it was. I was born into football. My dad has always played football. My brother was a man. My brother went over to America to play football. So football was in our family since we were scots. And I grew up growing around, getting kicked around by him. He's 4 years older than me. So it progressed me very fast. And at the other side of it, so getting, pushing on in the story here is that I was 6'2" when I was 14.
Wow.
And I developed severe Osgood's lateris, which is it's your knees, your knee joints grow faster than the ligaments, and it's severe pain, and I couldn't run. So
when you were young, lad?
When I was young, when I was about 16, from 14 to 16, I suffered with this right through. So
Jesus, that kind of curtailed your football a lot, didn't it?
This stopped it, yeah. It stopped me playing.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That was the end?
That was the end of it, yeah. Yeah. And this is where, whilst I was injured, I picked up a golf club. And I started turning my focus to actually playing an individual sport, which for me, I actually found a lot more satisfying. You didn't have to rely on anybody. What you put into it, you got out of it. You couldn't like header a ball off the line and your mate would go up and he would smack off his knee and go in, and he would get the clap and the bula bus after it, and everybody would cheer for him when you've just saved the goal. You know, in golf, it's literally you make the mistakes, you make your failures and you deal with them. So for me, I just adapted to this sport like no other. I fell in love with the game. And yeah, from like about 14 to 24, I played golf.
Wow.
I played professionally from 20 to 24.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was in the space of 15 to 17, I got down to scratch.
15 then, to 17 down to scratch. Yeah, that's wild.
And then from there, I went over to the UK, and I was invited over to a golf academy in the UK. So I actually left home when I was 15. So I went over there playing soccer and I played golf.
Were you chasing the golf dream to substitute in for
the football?
It was
funny. I kind of went over there to play a bit of football, and the golf was there at the kind of the back. So this academy that I went to kind of facilitated both. And the injury, just I couldn't play, I couldn't train, I couldn't do anything. So I just started playing golf 10 hours a day, and I got very good very fast.
Were you channeling all the energy? Were you
I was kind of angry as well. You know, like you're kind of a bit pissed off and you want
to, but your dream gone at 15, as a young lad, it's very hard to hard to process that as an adult, but as a young lad it's probably like very difficult to get your head wrapped around it.
Yeah, I never really looked back on it and thought of the process of how I dealt with it, to be honest. I kind of have an ability to just keep moving. And I put all the energy that I put into that sport into my next, and the next was golf, and it was much more challenging sport. It's if anybody asks me what's the closest thing to business, it's golf. There's a million and one possibilities of what can happen out there. Grass, lie, ball, wind, rain, hail, time it takes you to play, concentrate, everything. It's a minefield. So I love the challenge of it, and that you could never perfect it. And when you thought you had to perfect it, it slaps you in the face. So from when I was 17, then I got selected to play for Ireland, which was my first cap to play for Ireland. I played home at the Nationals, I played boys golf, and then I got the opportunity to go to South Africa to train with the late Wayne Wessner. Wayne was a top 20 golfer in the world, and he's a South African, he lived in Ireland. Phenomenal player, won the Dubai Desert Classic, the World Golf Championship with Ernie Els. His resume goes on, and he took me under his wing, and I went out there, and he taught me everything he knew about the game, became a massive mentor for me.
So you moved to South Africa first.
So I went over there for an 8-week training camp, and at the last week of the 8-week training camp, he turned to me and said, "We have to go to Q School." He says, "You are too good to go home and play amateur golf."
And what age were you?
I was 19. And I went to Q School.
What's Q School for anyone not familiar with it?
It's a qualifying school to get your playing rights to play as a professional. So in theory, you play for money. When you're an amateur, you just play amateur tournaments. There's no real money involved, but you kind of play for ranking. For this now is go in, you can actually start to win money. You can make a living out of it. People can sponsor you. That's the progression of it.
What did you want as a young lad when you were 19? You're going over there. What was your dream then?
Then it was to be a golfer, like everything. Like it was 14 hours a day, every day, like I did prior to going to South Africa with that same academy that I went to the UK with. I used to spend my winters in Spain. So I spent 6 months in Malaga in the mountains, isolated, on a golf course, living on a golf course, sleeping. Everything was just golf course. So
what would you do? Tell me about your day, because I find this fascinating. Yeah, like the
day was mad. I'll give you a little bit of a nugget of how my brain works. So it was always a competition. There was about 60 guys that trained there. And it was always a case that everybody competed. And it's a great environment to be in because it pushes your limits. It pushes you physically, mentally, everything. And for me, it was that it was always a psychological win if I was up on that driving range first before anybody in the morning. I used to roll out of bed, not even shower, grab the golf clubs, not even have breakfast, run up to the driving range, and I'd be hitting balls on the range, and lads would be driving up going, Jesus, Jeff's here already. And I'd be hitting balls, and then I'd like half an hour later, I was like, right, I'm going to go down for breakfast.
But that was your first win of the day.
Win.
I love that.
So I used to get that win in early, and then, like, listen, I was the last person to leave there, and there was no cutting corners. You can't, that's the thing about golf, is you can't cut corners because you just exposed.
So what was it, like a training academy, or what was it?
Yeah, it was a training academy, so it was, I was sponsored to go there, so that the owner of it paid all my expenses to be there, but people used to pay to be there, so it used to be X fee to be there for a month, accommodation, gym, coaches. Wow. Some of the best coaches in Europe got flown in to teach seminars, and you had all your amenities were there.
Why was he paying for yours? Just as kind of like a hedge that you
might go
big?
The academy in the UK. That was the academy that I went to. He owned that academy, and he saw my potential when I was there. So he was like, look, I'm setting this up in the UK. I want you to go there. But then what ended up happening with the progression and how kind of good I got in a short period of time, in no time there was 15 or 20 Irish in the academy in Spain. So like the Irish were flooding over to it. So he was making nearly a business thing for him.
Okay.
So that's the kind of backbone to that end of it. So the academy was it was 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning on the range, and then you'd be leaving there when it got dark at 8 o'clock in the evening.
You're training
all day, yeah.
And what are you doing?
So there was a 9-hole par 3 course, so you'd actually go out. We used to do laps of this, like competitions, 10 lads to play, and then you play 9, whoever was lowest score you go again. So you'd burn up about 4 hours playing that. You'd have your coaching, so you'd do an hour on the range with your coach, then you'd go and play on the course. It's 4 hours to play around the golf, so there's a day in itself done and dusted.
You're doing that every day
non-stop.
The bits people don't hear about or see.
Yeah. But that's where I think is, you talk about bits that people don't hear and see, it's the same as business.
Yeah.
People don't see the work that goes into it prior. And then when you get successful, they're like, that was the day in and day out of it. So then when I got the chance to go to South Africa, it was the same thing. It was the same camp. It was the same process. It felt easy for me, but now I was under the guidance of Wayne. Unfortunately, Wayne is not with us at the moment, but he was a massive mentor for me. And it was a tragic... Some people that are listening, they will know the story. And... he was an incredible guy, incredible. And he would probably be, if not the person I've learned the most off out of anybody.
Wow.
And he's been through the ringer. He suffered with a lot of different mental health things, but he taught me some of the life lessons that I'll take to my grave.
If you enjoyed that chat with Jeff, I guarantee you'll love the whole conversation. So head back to episode 285 or click the link in the description below.